It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot wrap.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have, a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
DJ Pittenger every Thursday right here in this slot down there in Florida, down in Tampa. And TJ, question right out of the chute. Noel Fan in the 863 says, ask him about Hakeem Williams, five-star recruit. He said, I've not heard a word about him in the spring game or otherwise. I'm assuming it's because of the quality transfers, he says.
Yeah, I think he's a true freshman, you know, and even though he comes in with that five-star billing, you know, Florida State returns a top 10 wide receiver in the country last year with Johnny Wilson, and they brought back some other pieces that they really, really like. And, you know, when the spring game happened, Hakeem had only been on campus for 2.5-3 months. And so I think they really are excited about what he will do and what he will be kind of long-term. I don't know that he comes out, you know, week one and makes a massive impact against LSU or week four against Clemson. But I think, you know, as the season goes on, those younger guys like he and Ben Various Jacobs, who they're really, really excited about, will make pretty big impacts. But, yeah, you're right. Florida State also got some big transfers at both tight end and wide receiver. And so, you know, the true freshman isn't going to get a ton of shine, I would think, early in the year. But I do think they really like where Hakeem Williams is right now. They still think he's going to be a phenomenal talent for them for years to come. But when you come into a kind of a loaded or stacked room anyway, it's hard to make that instant impact as a true freshman.
They are ranked in the class of 24 right now. This is the composite, the 24/7 composite, number 9, Landon Thomas. They're out of Ray Golf Country. Moultrie, Georgia is a five-star, the tight end, out of Colquitt County. Cameron Davis, of course, he's been committed for years now. Running back out of Doherty High School there. And then the quarterback out of Savannah. So this group right here, this class has a chance to be a top 10, maybe better class from high school kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I think anything less than top 10 at this point would be a disappointment. It would probably coincide with a disappointing on-field product. But, yeah, they really like the start of this class. They really like where they stand with Charles Lester, a five-star cornerback out of Riverview. Just transferred down there in Sarasota, but to Venice, I believe. They really like where they stand with him. They really like where they stand with a very highly rated Jonathan Daniel. He's a five-star on three. He's very highly rated on 247. A couple other offensive linemen that are visiting there on the 23rd they really like. There's a four-star tight end that they think they are in a good spot for in Kylan Fox. There's an edge prospect in Dylan Stevenson. That's kind of a Florida State, Miami, Auburn battle right now. I think Florida State likes where they stand there. So, yeah, I think when you pencil in some of those names, and you may not hit on all of them, but if you can pencil in some of those names and pull some of those guys in, you're going to solidify that top 10. And I think the ceiling is probably around 6 or 7. I think top 5 would be, they would need to swipe a couple of people away. They would need to swipe like a Jeremiah Smith and get in a JoJo. They would need to add like 2 more 5 stars to me outside of Charles Lester. But I think a top seven class would be, you know, pretty good. I think that's, you know, Florida State needs to be recruiting in that top 10 level, and they're certainly setting themselves up to do that this year. Sorry for the background noise. I'm at an airport in Houston, so I'm in your what they call it, God's time zone, but I'm in your time zone for once on this call.
TJ Pincher is with us each and every Thursday. Question on the text line: do you expect Coach Link Jarrett to be busy in the transfer portal?
I do. I like the questions on here, but I need them to ask me about softball. That's what I'm heading up to Oklahoma City this afternoon for the World Series. But I think Link will be really, really good and pretty active there in the transfer portal. I think we had something like 7 or 8 just depth rotational pieces jump in the portal already. You know, no real impact guys, no real big difference makers. But I think the idea would be to replace those guys with difference makers. You know, the pitching wasn't very good this year. Hitting was, and I think they like what they have coming back. Smith and Tibbs, and I really think they think the offense can be really, really good, but the pitching just has to improve. And that's what really stung them this year, what really got them behind the eight ball in a lot of games, cost them a lot of games late. Bullpen wasn't good. Starting pitching wasn't good. So, you know, all around, I would expect they are pretty active there, and I think Link will fill that out. He's got good recruiting classes too, so I don't necessarily think that he's trying to, you know, go the Norvell approach of flip a roster immediately this year and try to make the College World Series. I know that's the expectation. That's the standard in Tallahassee, but I do think he's trying to build it right. And so I don't think he'll sacrifice, you know, high school recruiting for the portal, but I would expect they pull in a few guys for sure.
TJ's heading to the Softball World Series. Is Oklahoma still the overwhelming favorite, as they have been?
Yeah, I think so. I will say, I mean, to even trying to take the garnet gold-colored sunglasses off, I do think Florida State's probably one of maybe two teams that could upset them in a final series. But I think, you know, it's kind of Oklahoma's to lose and everybody else is playing catch up. Kind of the way we felt with Georgia last year. You know, it was theirs to lose until they fell off in football. And, you know, that's probably not even a fair comparison to Oklahoma because they're that much better than everybody else. So I think it's Oklahoma's to lose. I do think that, you know, Florida State, who just had a pitcher throw a perfect game in a region final. I think that if pitching really kind of went off, they could certainly make some noise if you kind of ride Cat Sandercock's arm in that final series, but Oklahoma is certainly the team to beat.
And they'd be going for a three-peat, right? That's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, it's really rather ridiculous when you say that out loud. And they have done it and made it look extremely easy. They beat Florida State. I'll take that back. They beat Florida State 2 years ago, and the series did go down to the wire. Florida State won the first game, and then Oklahoma won the next two. And then last year, they made it look extremely easy. There was no stopping them at all in the World Series. They just kind of blew everybody out. There were a bunch of upsets in the Super Regional, and it made their path in the World Series incredibly easy. So hopefully not that easy this time. We get some better games going.
Now, I know this last weekend, I think, and I didn't keep track of the final, but at one point late, Clemson had a lead on Oklahoma, right?
I think by 3. I was kind of in and out. I was watching it, you know, as best as I could. But I think they were up 3, and it was like 2 strikes, 2 outs. You know, like it was like you were a pitch away from winning the game. Now, that would have forced a third game, and so you'd have liked Oklahoma's chances there. But it's a losing, you know, lose and go home. So who knows? But Oklahoma. That's what they do. They've had that similar situation. I don't know about down 3 runs on their final strike, but they've had very similar situations to that often and found a way to win. So they truly never die until that last out is recorded.
Has everything chilled, calmed down regarding ACC expansion, getting out of the grant of rights, all of that for the moment?
I mean, on the surface, like people talking about it being – the leading story, I think so. But, I think behind the scenes, they're, you know, attorneys, athletic directors, presidents are always kind of evaluating options is maybe the best way to put it. People that I've chatted with have kind of said, like, hey, we're happy with the, the potential unequal revenue sharing from a performance standpoint. You know, if you make the college football playoff, you get more of that than, say, a Duke or whatever, you know, and it, by the same token, if Duke makes the NCAA tournament or Final Four, they get more of that than, you know, maybe we do or whatever. So I think that they're happy with that. They'd like to, you know, the big dogs would like to keep pushing for unequal revenue sharing when it comes to the media portion. But if they felt like it was the best thing to do for them to jump ship and get out of the conference, that is what the big dogs would do. So, you know, on its face, on its surface, I think that's where we're at. But behind the scenes, I still think that it's always in the forefront of these AD's minds.
Any other recruiting news or portal news?
Yeah, I don't think there's much in the portal at this point. You know, nobody can enter unless they're a grad transfer. I do think that, you know, with recruiting, you're going to have some really, really big visit weekends. Florida has their really big visit weekend this weekend where they have their five-star quarterback DJ Lagway in, got a five-star wide receiver in Jeremiah Smith in, and some other really talented guys, some guys that Florida State's targeting as well. Florida State's big weekend is the weekend of the 23rd. They will have recruiting weekends leading up to that, but they'll try and make a lot of noise that weekend of the 23rd. So it's all camp season. It's all recruiting season right now, but Nothing that I would call imminent or, you know, watch out for this guy to pop within the next week or two.
Noel Kev up in Chicago asked TJ, in this football class of 24, he says, I believe two of these guys are baseball football guys. Are they truly going to play both? Are they those type players that could do both?
So, yeah, I actually think there's three right now. So B.J. Gibson, who was committed to Tennessee for baseball, decommitted from there, and he's now a commit for the football team. You know, dual sport athlete, wide receiver. Camden Fryer, who, if you remember the 93 game against Miami, his dad Matt Fryer caught the big touchdown pass going down the sideline. He's a really good baseball player too. And Cam Davis, the running back you mentioned. So all three of them are. I don't know. It gets so tough. Like, you really, truly have to be special to be able to do both. And I think, you know, any and all of those guys are, but what does the priority look like? What is, you know, keeping your body right for both? Where's the focus? What's that balance? If I had to guess, and I'm not going to say who of the three it'll be, I would guess that maybe one of them play both. You know, maybe BJ plays. I guess I did just say a name. But, you know, to me, I don't know if Cam would or not. I don't know how much Norvell would really want him out there playing, but, you know, we'll see. He's a pretty dynamic athlete. And so if he really pushes for it and really wants to, Florida State's always, you know, recruited two-sport athletes really well, and they've let him play. You know, you think about a Heisman Trophy quarterback who they let go out there and play baseball. So I think it's certainly something that could be looked at by the baseball team. We'll also see what their recruiting looks like at that point, too, I guess.
Yeah, it's very rare. John Rice Plumlee, quarterback at UCF's on the baseball team. And that's, you're right, it's rare. Hey, I know you got a flight, and there's the music. Tell everybody how they can get your content.
Yeah, go to Double Fries No Slaw everywhere. We actually have a conference realignment video dropping, I think, at 10 a.m., so check it out on YouTube. I appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Safe travels.
Thanks, bud.
There is TJ with us.